Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it and be glad in it. For I was glad when he said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. For it's in him that we live and we move and we have his being. Amen. Amen. God is a good God. We give him all glory and honor and praise. We thank God for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and the precious Holy Spirit who guides us day by day. This is a good day. It is a great day. And I just want to thank Pastor Pickens, as always, just for our opportunity to bring the Word of God. And so we are just going to jump right in. Amen?
Amen.
And while you're standing and you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 12.
Amen.
And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Amen?
Amen.
And when you have it, just say amen or shout hallelujah. Yes, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Amen. I heard an amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I still see some people looking, so we're going to give it another minute. Yes, if you need help, there's plenty of deacons around.
Amen.
Amen. There's plenty of believers next to you. Amen. Somebody could help you. Amen. All right. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls.
Amen.
Let the church say amen, amen to the reading and hearing of God's word. You may be seated. Amen. As you know, I love the book of Hebrews. Amen.
Amen.
Could just stay there all day. So we're back again to the book of Hebrews. And for a topic today, if I had to choose one, I would choose in it to win it. Amen. Amen. I'm in it to win it. One of the things that my husband and I like to do together is to watch the Summer Olympics. And there's a lot of activities that we like, but one of our favorite is seeing the people run track. It is amazing to me that people can do that, that they can sprint and run as fast as they can, that they can run as long as they can, as hard as they can. It is nothing more than amazing. They are in a race, and when I was looking up these different kind of foot races, it says that some foot races are called sprints. That means it's a short distance, but you run it as fast as you can to get to the end and win. And then there's some races that are called long distance races. And they might run around the track 4 times, but they have to pace themselves. But when they know that they're getting around that last lap, they pick up the speed so that they can win the race. And then there's some races called marathons. My husband ran a marathon. Scared me half to death. Ran from downtown Detroit underneath the Canadian Bridge and back around. And I'm standing there on the other end waiting. He was running a marathon, 50 miles or more. That's quite a race. Amen. But I also heard they have something called an ultra marathon. Ultra marathon is 100 miles or more. That's quite a race. But the thing about it is that somebody who runs track does not get in that condition overnight to win those races. It takes time and conditioning and training and discipline to run those type of races. But if we look at this passage of scripture, it appears that the writer of Hebrews, and nobody really knows who that writer is. And for me, it really doesn't matter as long as it is the word of God. They said that life is like a race. We're in a race, y'all. A race not for our lives, because if you're a believer, we're already saved and the victory is already won. It is just a race to endure this life. Jesus asked in Luke, he asked this question. He says, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith on the earth? And so the race is not so much about how fast you can do it. It's not a sprint. It's not about how well you do it. We are going to fall down. What's important is that you get back up. And it's not about if you come in first, because we're all going to finish at different times. And so the race is a race of faith. It is a race to see that as you go through what you go through, and there are going to be some hurdles, amen? And when you can you jump those hurdles and land on your feet? Can you get through those hurdles of life and still be able to keep moving? Can you get through those hurdles, jump over those hurdles, get past those hurdles without circumventing them and trying to run around them? Can you go through and jump over them and still come out a winner? It is about faith. It is a race of faith. And so the Hebrews writer says, he starts off by saying, therefore. And he is just in chapter 11 talked about that Hall of Famers, those Christian Hall of Famers, amen, who had such great faith that they were able to be listed in God's Hall of Fame. And it talks about the faith of Abraham, who was able to travel into unknown place all by faith. And he talks about Moses, who was willing to lead the children out of Israel all by faith. And he talks about so many more, Rahab and Gideon and Samuel and David, and all these men and women of faith who are now become our witnesses. Not that they're looking down from us at heaven, but because they have shown us the way in which we need to go. How we can run this race of life and end up at the finish line. How we can run this race of life and end up victorious. How we can run this race of life and not faint. How we can run this race of life and not give up. Some people are discouraged trying to run this race of life, but these witnesses want to let us know that all we need to do is keep the faith. Somebody say, keep the faith. Don't give up. Don't sit down. Keep the faith, because if we can keep the faith, God will see us through to the end. And so don't get discouraged, because you already won. All God wants you to do is keep the faith. He's not asking that you do a whole lot of things. He's just asking that you trust him every step of the way. In the good times, he wants you to trust him. In the bad times, he wants you to trust him. It's all about your faith. People want to say it's all about your works. We talked about it this morning. Works are good, because faith without works is dead. Amen. But what God is looking for is, are you trusting him even in the work you do? Is it his work or is it your work? Yeah. Whose work is it? It's his work when it requires what? Faith. It's your work when it doesn't require what? Faith. And so that's how we know that we are working for God, because whatever it is that we're trying to do, whether it's teaching or ministering or evangelizing, whatever we try to do, we have to do it by faith. Faith in God. So this great cloud of witnesses, it says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it might be your mother. It might be your grandmother. It might be your grandfather, but somebody witnessed to you about the goodness of the Lord. Somebody told you about the goodness of the Lord. And so we're surrounded by their faith. Their faith is there to encourage us. We can look back and see how they did what they did and how they got over and how they got through. And that becomes an encouragement for us. And so we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. And then it says, let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. Anybody who's overweight knows that if you lay aside a few pounds, you'll live better. Amen. If you lay aside a few pounds, you'll walk better. If you lay aside a few pounds, you may even be able to run better. Amen. So it says to lay off the weight, but weight could be other things besides just physical weight. In life, we take on weight that we don't need to have. Some weight could be someone else's problem. Have you ever taken on someone else's problem? And that problem becomes a heavy, heavy, heavy weight, and it's not even yours. And so we pick up other people's problems, and sometimes if we're going to finish this race, we are going to have to let go of that weight. We can pray for them, we can minister to them, but we don't have to take it on, because taking on someone else's problems creates excess weight. And sometimes we just don't take on other people's problems. Sometimes we take on other people's responsibilities. Oh, if you're a parent, I know somebody knows what I'm talking about. You take on other people's responsibilities, and the next thing you know, they're doing well, and you're doing not so well. They're doing good, living the good life, and you're struggling. Big hallelujah, because we took on somebody's responsibility that wasn't really ours. God did not really tell us to do it, but we felt in our heart that we needed to be compassionate, but we didn't look at the fact that to take on their responsibilities was going to create a burden, an unnecessary burden in our life. And so sometimes you have to lay aside that weight. And then there's some relationships that create weight. Just not good for you. You know it's not good for you, but you won't lay aside that weight. But sometimes, I encourage you, sometimes you just need to walk away and stay away. Amen. Walk away and stay away. Lay aside the weight, because we're trying to finish the race. You don't want to go out of here because you're holding on to someone else's problems. You don't want to go out of here because you've taken on someone else's responsibility. You don't want to go out of here because you're living in a relationship that's not good for you. We need to lay aside the weight, because it affects our faith. It affects our walk with God. It affects how we see him and what we do. It affects us. And so he says to lay aside the weight, and not only lay aside the weight, but the sin, which so easily ensnares us. And so we're all sinners. Amen. Everybody in here got something. I don't care how good you look this morning. I know. You got something going on somewhere. Amen. That includes me. Amen. I include myself. And so we're all sinners, but we need to lay aside the weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And so I know that there are at least two sins that all of us can work on. The first one is unforgiveness. It ensnares us. When we choose not to forgive, and it is a choice, when we choose not to forgive others, all we are doing is setting up a trap, an ensnarement for ourselves. It is going to cause us to trip. It is going to hold us back from the race. It's going to keep us from moving forward. If we choose not to unforgive, if we choose not to forgive people, it becomes a snare in our walk with God. Why won't we forgive people? Because one, people have hurt us. And when people hurt us, we think they should pay for that hurt. Amen? Am I right about that? We want them to pay them back. And so how do we pay them back? By not forgiving them. If I don't forgive you, you'll always remember what you did for me. We want to keep it in their remembrance that you did me wrong. We want to keep it in your remembrance that you mistreated me. We want to keep it in their remembrance of what they have done. And so to keep it in their remembrance, we can't forget about it, right? And if we can't forget about it, that means we can't forgive them. But unforgiveness becomes a snare. It is a sin. And God said, if you don't forgive others, oh, y'all know that scripture. Yeah, if I won't forgive you, God said he won't forgive you. And so if you want God's forgiveness, which we all do, how many times do we go to God and ask him to forgive us? All of the time. But what about that person over there that you refuse to forgive? You know, if we look at Jesus on the cross, one of the things he said was, Father, forgive them for what they do. How could he do that? hanging on a cross, asking God to forgive people who have beat him, who have caused him to suffer. Yet and still, he still has the heart and the mind to say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If you're having trouble to forgive somebody, just remember that they might not know what they did. They might not know how they hurt you. They might not know how they're causing you to stumble. They might not know. So if you can't say anything else, just say, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. And so unforgiveness will cause a snare, but so will unbelief. Oh, you got to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. You've got to believe that he can do what he says he can do. So many times we do not receive the blessings of God simply because we do not believe. He said, I can heal you, but we really don't believe. He said he came to set the captives free. That means you're in bondage, and he can set you free, but we don't believe. We struggle with addictions. We struggle with all kinds of problems. We struggle with health issues. We struggle with a lot of things. And some of it is simply because we do not believe. We do not believe Jesus is still a miracle worker. Oh, he used to be back in the day, but he doesn't do those type of things today. But I declare to you this morning, he still is a miracle worker. He still can heal. He still can deliver. He still can set you free. He still casts out demons. He still walks on water. He can do anything, and he can do everything. And so sometimes it's our faith, our unbelief, that becomes a snare. Oh, believe in the promises of God. If he says no weapons formed against you shall prosper, I don't care if they throw them. They're not going to prosper. If he says greater is he that is in me than he is in the world, then keep on walking. Keep your head up. Be courageous and bold. Go to the throne of grace. Ask God for mercy in your time of need, because he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, but we got to believe it. When's the last time you asked God to do that unimaginable thing for you? When's the last time you asked him to work that miracle for you? When was the last time that you asked him to deliver you, to help you, to set you free? Now that you've asked him, you have got to what? You have got to believe. On the intercessory prayer line, I tell people, don't pray nothing you don't believe God will do. Other than that, we're just wasting time. Whatever we pray, we got hallelujah. We got to believe that God is going to do it. Other than that, it's just idle words. God looks at our hearts, and he knows whether or not we believe or whether we don't believe. He knows if we believe what we are asking for. He knows if we're really expecting him to do what we are asking him to do. Oh, when I pray, I expect God to answer. Please, God, have mercy on me. I expect mercy to show up. When I ask for help, I expect help to show up. I might not know where it's coming from, but I believe God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And I believe he is going to outdo anything I can even imagine he can do. He is going to do great things, because I believe he is who he said he is. He is the King of glory. He is God Almighty. He is the great I am. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. He is my healer. He is everything that I need. He is God, and he is God alone. And we have to believe that he is who God says he is. And so we have to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And then he says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I don't know if you notice this, but it seems to me like every generation gets weaker. Can't stand nothing. Four parents were slaves, endured for 400 years. We, quote unquote, are free. Can't endure for 400 minutes. All right. weaker and weaker and weaker. And I'm not going to say why that is, because I'm not really sure. It puzzles me that we have generations that just can't endure anything. Fallen by the wayside. Everybody's in counseling, and I don't necessarily have anything wrong with it, but I'm just saying you need to learn how to endure. Right. Trouble is going to come. The Bible said a man born of a woman is a few days, and those few days are full of what? Trouble. But he gives us the strength, and he gives us the wisdom, and he gives us the courage, and he gives us the backbone to endure some hard times. I never met such a group of people who don't want to go through a hard time. I remember somebody asked me, do I have to go through suffering? Well, if you're human, absolutely. If you're breathing, absolutely. You are going to suffer every now and then. Jesus suffered. And he suffered for our sins, not for his, because he didn't have any. And then when a suffering comes our way, we could barely stand it. Don't want to suffer for a day. Don't want to suffer for a moment. Just want everything to be a bed of roses. Well, you're living the wrong life, because this life, there is no bed of roses. This life is going to have some challenges. And the writer of Hebrews says that we need to endure in order to finish the race. Endure the race that is set before us. Some people can't endure because you're trying to run somebody else's race. Have you ever known people so busy in other people's lives that they can't even run the one that God gave them? Oh, you ain't did what you're supposed to do, but you're going to come over here and tell me what I'm supposed to do. No, you endure the race that is set before you. Your race, not other people's races, your race. Learn how to endure it. The Bible says God wouldn't put on you more than we can bear. And we say it all the time, but we're always trying to shake our way out of it. Oh, God wouldn't put more on us than we can bear, but Lord, please get me out of this. Oh, sometimes you just need to learn how to go through. Sometimes you need to learn how to wait on the Lord. And it's hard. I'm not even going to stay in here and say. It's hard to wait on the Lord. But it said, wait on the Lord and be of what? Good courage. That means while I'm waiting, I'm not going to faint. I'm going to keep holding on to that hope. This is how I'm going to get to the end. I'm going to get to the end by faith. I'm going to have faith that God is going to come through. I might not know when he comes through, might not know how he comes through, but I know without a shadow of a doubt that he is going to come through, because he's a come through kind of God. And so while I'm waiting, I'm going to keep on praying. While I'm waiting, I'm going to keep on studying my word. While I'm waiting, I'm going to keep on worshiping, because sometimes you just have to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And then we have to learn how to walk through. I think it's the writer of Isaiah. He says that when we walk through the waters, they won't overtake us. And through the rivers, they're not going to overflood us. And then you can walk through the fire and it's not going to burn you. But we don't want to walk through anything. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Some of the translations will say, fix your eyes on Jesus. Are our eyes fixed on the Lord? There's a game called The Wall. I don't know if any of you have seen it. And on The Wall, they ask these questions. There's multiple choices. But once the person decides which question they're going to select, they are instructed to lock it in. When we decide to follow Jesus, no matter what comes our way, our eyes need to stay on him, and we need to lock it in. Do not unlock what you said you have locked. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, because if he started you on this journey, he already knows how it's going to end. If he started you on this journey, he knows the end from the beginning. If he started you on this journey, there are no mistakes, because God is a God who knows, and all he wants us to do is keep our eyes on Jesus. I remember we were up in Detroit last week, and I was following my husband. We were in cars. He was in one car. I was in another. And I was supposed to be following him to the hotel. He was ahead of me. And you know it's hard to follow some people in a car. Amen? For various reasons, it's difficult. One, the car was gray like all the rest of the cars on the freeway. The other one was that he was driving faster than I was driving. And not only was he driving faster, he was switching lanes, and so sometimes it was hard to keep up. Anybody ever had that experience? You was trying to follow somebody, but they forgot that you were following them, and they just kind of kept doing their own thing, and you're trying to keep up. Yeah, that's difficult. But I had my eyes locked on that car. Every time he turned a lane, I saw him turn a lane. Every time somebody cut in front of us, I kept my eye on his car. And so when he got off the exit, I knew he was getting off. And so I didn't get lost because my eyes were fixed on that car. And that's how we have to do with Jesus. Jesus might have us going in one direction one day, but then he might turn and have us going in another direction. Things might be going good today, but they might not be going good on tomorrow. But no matter what direction life might take us, no matter what comes our way, if we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, when he gets off, we get off. When he stops, we stop. Just like that pillar of clouds that followed after the Egyptians. When it stopped, they stopped. When it went forward, they went forward. And that's how we have to do with Jesus. We have to be so locked. Our eyes have to be so locked on Jesus. But we're looking all around us. We're looking over here and we're looking over there, watching what other people are doing. And the minute you look away, guess what? You're lost. You look away and you get lost, wondering, how did I get off track? How did I get over here? What happened? Where is Jesus? You took your eyes off of him. Put your eyes back on Jesus. Put your eyes on Jesus and keep it on Jesus. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, he'll lead you to the promised land. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, he'll lead you to the place of victory. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, he'll make sure that you get out of here and you get out of here unscathed. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will have the victory. For the joy and he's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured. He endured because he knew there was something better on the other side of that cross. He didn't want to go to that cross. He didn't want to die on that cross. He didn't want to be crucified. He didn't want to have the nails in his hands. He didn't want to have the sins of the world put upon him. But if he knew if he could just endure that cross, he knew if he could just get through it, that there would be joy on the other side. He knew that we would be free if he could just get through it. He knew that salvation could be ours if we just got through it. He knew that the redeemed would be able to say so if he just got through it. He knew that we would have eternal life if he just got through it. So he endured the cross. He went through the cross just so that we could have eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. He endured the cross because he knew there was going to be joy on the other side. And I don't know what you're going through, but you can get through it if you know there's going to be joy on the other side. Oh, one great morning, there is going to be joy. We are going to look up and we're going to see the clouds break in two. We're going to see Jesus coming forth. For those who are redeemed and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and those who remain will be caught up to meet him in the sky. Oh, there is joy on the other side, but we're going to have to walk through. There is joy on the other side, but we're going to have to take this life and we're going to have to run this race with faith. We're going to have to keep pushing even when we don't want to push. We're going to have to keep going even when we don't want to go, because we know if Jesus died for us, we can live for him. We could do what he asked us to do. It might not be easy, but we can do it. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And so who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Let me tell you what God told me about the cross. My soul got so excited. Some things I don't share that God tells me because people would be looking at me strange. But I'm going to tell y'all this anyway. So Jesus on the cross dying. Blood coming through his head. Blood coming from his feet. Blood coming from his side. They pierced him and blood's all over his body. And then the sins of the world are thrown upon him. But it was okay. Why? Because he was covered by the blood. His own, hallelujah, his own blood covered him from the sins of the world. Oh, my soul got so excited. Oh, sin never touched the Savior because he was bloody from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And it is the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It is the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, God. Hallelujah. Yeah, God. Oh, my soul got so excited. The blood still works. Oh, the power of the blood. Hallelujah. He was our sinless Savior. Even when the sins of the world were put upon him, he was still sinless because of the blood. Hallelujah. We thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. We thank God for the blood. We thank God for the blood. That blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. It reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, his suffering had purpose. Yeah, they had to cover him with blood. So when the sins of the world touched him, it didn't do him no harm. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank him for the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you. And he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yeah, that's our Savior. Seated at the right hand of the Father, praying for you and praying for me. What's he praying? That we'll endure the race. That we'll get through on the other side. That all will be well with our soul. That we will trust him with all of our heart. Lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct our path. God bless you all. Amen.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but he is the vine."